السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا سنة بعد سنته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, undoubtedly all praises belong solely and only unto Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Salat and salam upon our master Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Undoubtedly, the day of Jumu'ah is a very, very auspicious day. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith has mentioned many, many virtues pertaining to this day. And we know that du'as are accepted on this day. Ulama ikram mentioned that it is different times of the day. Some say it is the time before Maghrib, etc. Nevertheless, we take the opportunity to make this du'a. This is a Jumu'ah congregation. Many people will say Ameen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take our life with Iman. May our last words be Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are undoubtedly the slaves of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two basic responsibilities. One is that we connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make an effort to perfect our relationship with Allah Rabbul Izzat. And the other is that we make an effort to connect the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala has given us two basic responsibilities which are of utmost importance. You see, we recited in a khutbah Surah Al-Fatiha. Beloved friends, today we are affected by many things. Somebody sends out one WhatsApp message, or somebody sends out one SMS, or whatever the case is. Sometimes we won't even verify it, but the contents of it many a times put us into a tizz. You know, everybody just starts, you know, people suddenly, the mind stops working. We just read something, few words, and it affected us. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we read the kalam of Allah Rabbul Izzat, and we start to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we read the kalam of Allah with the correct mindset, if we just change our approach towards Kalamullah in a slight way, and our inspiration can be the words of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, whenever somebody mentions something, a statement of any person, then for that statement to have an impact on our heart and mind, we need to understand who's making that statement. Now, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu wasn't an ordinary person. His position in the ummah, we all know, he enjoyed certain accolades, or he enjoyed, you know, certain things that were, you can say, exclusive to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Amongst the things is that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was nurtured in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and at the same time he was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you can imagine, when a statement comes from Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what can be the background of that particular statement. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in one hadith to this effect, he said, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the babul ilm. He is the door of knowledge to this ummah. So you can imagine, when he would say something, what pearls would flow and what pearls would come out of the mouth of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he said, to this effect, we hear from the ulama, he said that when I wish to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I perform salah. When I wish to speak to Allah Rabbul Izzat, then I perform salah. And when I wish for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to me, then I recite Quran. Because undoubtedly, Kalamullah, Quran, is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say that Kalamul Muluk, Mulukul Kalam. The king of the speech of the king is the king of all speeches. So undoubtedly we can understand what an impact when we will approach the Quran Sharif in this light, that Allah is speaking to me, Allah is talking to me, Allah is giving me a message. Allah Rabbul Izzat is giving me an opportunity to communicate with Him. Allah is giving me an opportunity to connect with Him. So every day we recite Surah Al-Fatiha. If we have to count how many times in a day, if you just take the Salat of Fajr alone, it's already 4 times. And then you take the Salat of Zohr, you're adding another 12 times. So if we have to look at it, we're not going to go into the mathematics of it. My mathematics is a bit weak, so I'd rather remain silent, it's safer. But the reality is this, if we just analyze it and see how many times a day are we reciting the surah. But see with what love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us these two important messages. One, that insan, you have to connect with me. And the other is that insan, you have to take out time and make an effort to connect yourself to me and at the same time connect the creation to me as well. See, people who analyze oration and oratory skills, etc., they mention something. They say that generally for a person's speech to be effective or for speech to take effect, it needs 3 ingredients. For effective communication, they say it needs 3 ingredients. Number 1, they say content. Number 2, they say style. And number 3, they say you got to know your audience. Now, this is something that mankind or people who have studied in their limited knowledge come up with these 3 things. But let's just say for an example or for a moment, if we have to apply this to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a moment, obviously Quran is far ahead of that as well. And where will we ever be able to bring anything to try and compare it, to try and make a comparison with the kalam of Allah? But let's just say, for argument's sake, if we have to apply it for a moment, then rest assured there's only one conclusion. And that conclusion is that the kalam of Allah Rabbul Izzat is perfect in every single regard. In every single aspect that there is to be looked at, you'll find that the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just perfect, it's absolutely perfect. And I don't think, I'll be trying to act or fake some sort of humility, but to be honest, I don't think myself or anybody can actually really go into how perfect Quran is. I don't think anybody can really expound to the next person how perfect the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Because after all, it is the speech of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So daily we recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah by these words, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I'm not going to go into the entire surah. I'm just going to mention 1 or 2 things here. So that inshallah, at the end of this small muzakara or bayan or whatever you want to call it, we can take these 2 vital points. And again, I'm mentioning this over and over, because at the end of the day, my respected friends, if we can understand these 2 important things, then inshallah, our life will be on the right track. Number 1, again, I'm saying that we have to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to make an effort for ourselves to perfect our relationship and our ta'alluq with Allah Rabbul Izzat. And the other is that we have to make an effort to connect the creation to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst the many, many lessons that we can take from the entire surah, we'll just take 2 aspects. Easy for us to remember it also. 2 things Allah ta'ala is bringing or highlighting to us here, just in this first verses, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Number 1 is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us hope. Allah ta'ala is teaching us that in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adopt an optimistic approach. Adopt an optimistic approach with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really today in the ummah, this is something that we need to reignite once again. That we need to be optimistic. We need to understand that our Allah who we are worshipping every day, our Allah whom we are making dua to, our Allah who, for whom we are sitting in the masjid, our Allah who we believe in 110% is Rabbul Alameen. Allah is the Rabb of the entire alam. So whether things make sense to us or it doesn't make sense to us, whether we can understand what is happening or we cannot understand what is happening, at least this much we need to put into our heart, that Allah is the controller of everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the first lesson, that we need to be optimistic. Just to go into it a little bit, and that you can appreciate Quran. See this word Alhamdu. Generally, if we have to translate it, loosely, if you just translate it, alhamdulillah, into English, generally we all know, the famous translation that we would say is, that all praises are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is correct. However, if you have to look at it, and you see what the commentators expound on this word so beautifully, Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah makes mention of this as well, and many other commentators, that this word hamd in Arabic, is so comprehensive. It is so comprehensive that actually it encompasses two things. It encompasses two things. Remember this. See why I'm saying it. Try and remember it. We use this word all of the time. Alhamdulillah. Somebody asks you, how are you? Why? No, alhamdulillah. How are you? Alhamdulillah. You come home, the wife asks you, how are you? You're forced to say it, but you say, no, I'm alhamdulillah. Nevertheless, we use this phrase all of the time. It's in our general talk. Now, if we just understand what we're saying, there'll be this much of a difference in uttering the word. This much. Now we're saying it from here, but when we understand it, it'll come from the heart, inshallah. So this would be the difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this word hamd. This word hamd got two things. One is al-thana, and the other is al-shukr. Al-thana means to praise. In Arabic, al-thana means to praise, and al-shukr means to show gratitude. So see how comprehensive is the speech and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at these two things, praise and shukr, it's two separate things. Logically, when you praise somebody, you're not necessarily thanking that person. And when you thank somebody, you're not necessarily making shukr to that person either. Somebody, you know, example, you saw something nice. Simple example, maybe a car or whatever the case. Just leave it to a car. We don't do anything else. You saw something nice. You say, alhamdulillah. You said alhamdulillah. But you're not, you're expressing that this thing is, it is something nice. You saw it. In other words, you are saying praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you liked it, you liked what you saw. And at the same time, you're saying shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave mankind the intellect, that mankind could come up with something like this. So see how comprehensive this word is, that at all cost, it goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a difference in praising something, and there's a difference in showing gratitude to something. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this word particularly, because it is so comprehensive that in one particular word, at one particular time, you can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His favors, and at the same time, you can show gratitude to Allah Rabbul Izzat for His favors upon you. So we said that in this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be optimistic. How you get that point? It comes like this. That many a times, just think about it, you're having a bad day. You're going through difficulties in your day. And, you know, like I say, we need to be optimistic. Don't only focus on the bad. Alhamdulillah is for the good as well. But you're going through a bad day. Things are not going your way. Maybe you woke up in the morning, you got up late, already you came to work, the boss was upset, and then along the way you scraped your car. And these things happen. Sometimes it happens to all of us, where, you know, you say it's just not your day. And somebody asks you, Ibai, how are you? So, sometimes Rasman will just say, no, I'm alhamdulillah. You just said it. You just said it from your tongue, but you never meant it. But when you start understanding what you're saying, when we start understanding and now building that ta'alluq and that relationship with Allah Rabbul Izzat, and now somebody asked you, you went through this entire bad day, you woke up late, and then, you know, Apat, who had her fair say to say in the morning, she told you, she gave you her bayan, and then the children gave you their bayan, and then you came to work and the boss gave you his bayan, and the whole day you're going through it, and now somebody, a friend of yours you met, now he asked you, how's your day, how's everything? Now you taught yourself, eventually you just said no, you said alhamdulillah. So one is you just saying it like that. And now as you start understanding that I need to make shukr to Allah and I need to praise Allah for whatever condition I am in, this is now where that optimism comes into you. That you'll say to that person from the dil, alhamdulillah. No, you know what? And then you think to yourself, listen, I've went through this, I've went through that, but hey, it could have been worse. I just scraped the car, it could have been a complete accident. You know, I woke up late, it could have been that I didn't wake up at all. So whatever the case may be, you'll start looking at life, and then you'll stop feeling sorry for yourself also, because now at the end of the day, you know that whatever condition I'm in, whatever I have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the day, if you compare what Allah has given me and what I deserve, this is how we will maintain, and this is how we will mend and better our ta'alluq with Allah Rabbul Izzat, that if you look at what Allah Pak has given me and what I have currently, in comparison to what I deserve, then hey, you know what, I can't thank Allah Rabbul Izzat enough. And I'm sure every one of us, when you look at our condition, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter how bad our condition may be, When we look at what condition we are going through, and we see what Allah has given us, we see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in comparison to who we really are and what we really are. You see, we can bluff many people. We can put on a facade and we can put on an act in front of everybody. But when we are alone with ourselves, every person knows himself. You know, when a person is alone and it's just him and Allah Rabbul Izzat, then you know yourself and Allah knows you. I know myself and Allah knows me. And I think I know myself, but Allah knows me even better than that. So when we start saying these words and it moves away from just being a statement and it starts coming from the heart that Alhamdulillah, all praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough. So remember this, when you're saying Alhamdulillah, you're doing two things. You're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this favor that I have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it came from Allah, and really what Allah has given me, if anybody else had to attempt, if anybody else had to try and even, you know, compare or try and come on par with that particular favor, it'll never match, because that is coming from so and so, and this favor that I am speaking about, or I'm thanking Allah for, is directly from Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah is the creator of the favors. Allah is the creator of everything. So that's number one, that we'll adopt an optimistic approach to life. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this important lesson of humility, that humble ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama Ikram explained it like this. We're not going to go too much into the details of it, because obviously time doesn't permit. But if you look at this word hamd, it's a noun. If you take it, it's an Arabic. Quran is words. Quran is words. So we need to understand Quran in the light of words as well. It's a noun. It's a noun. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, Allah ta'ala could have brought a verb. But when there's verbs and there's nouns, we all understand a little bit of English just to understand it. If there's a verb requires a subject or a doer. Example, hit. You need somebody who did the action of hitting. So to avoid all of that, Allah Ta'ala brings the noun. And what lesson we take from it, that this word hamd is a noun here, is that the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise for Allah Rabbul Izzat, will not be subjected to time and place, nor will it be subjected to any individual, whoever that individual may be. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. The word kafara, we know it. One is it means for a person to disbelieve, and another meaning that can come to the word kafara is also for a person to show ingratitude, for a person not to show thanks to Allah Rabbul Izzat. So if you take both meanings, but let's just take the meaning for a moment, that if whoever wants to show ingratitude to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely independent of the entire alam. Imagine, just ponder for a moment, what a deep, profound ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here. What a statement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us, that no matter who you are, no matter where you hail from, if you choose not to recognize me and you choose not to thank me for your favor, for the favors that I have bestowed upon you, then rest assured and understand this, that Allah is completely independent. Allah is not in need of our praise, nor is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in need of our shukr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us two important lessons here. One, I said that we need to be optimistic in our approach, in our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other is we need to humble ourselves before Allah Rabbul Izzat. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just said that praises is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah never subjected to a past tense or a future tense or a present tense or for a particular person who's going to do the praising. Allah is saying, whether you praise me or you don't praise me, this will not increase nor will it decrease my jalal in any way. But insan, it's an opportunity for you to recognize that you need to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to connect and link yourself and create this relationship with Allah Rabbul Izzat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to us so beautifully, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that person who perfects his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will perfect his relationship with the creation. And everybody wants that. Everybody wants to live a normal life where you can function, where at home you can function normally, where at the workplace you can function nicely, wherever you are. People just want to be, if you look at the masses in general, everybody wants to just live a nice, comfortable, simple life where things are not complicated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a beautiful recipe here. That connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognize Allah, that Allah is giving you all your favors. Be optimistic in your approach with Allah Rabbul Izzat and humble yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is with regards to basically our relationship and connecting with Allah Rabbul Izzat. And in the same surah, my beloved friends, obviously there's much more, time doesn't permit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this important lesson. We read daily, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. that, oh Allah, guide us, guide all of us. Ulama Ikram explained it like this, Hidayat-e Tama, and they say that is Hidayat-e Amma, complete Hidayat, and it is Hidayat for everybody, Hidayat for all and sundry. We are making dua when we're reading the Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah is giving us this important message Allah is giving us, that this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were not created as individuals. Individualism is not part of our ummah. From the very inception of this ummah, you'll find if you go into the history and you look at the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was always a nation that had concern, worry and fikr for the next person. And really, my friends, if this can come alive once again in the ummah, you know, one person explained it very, very nicely in Urdu. They say that, apne bache roye darde dil, dusre bache roye darde sar. Your child cries, you say, ah, my bachu, hey, what happened, my son, go see. Somebody else's child is crying. Where's the father, bhai? Can't he think he's a masjid, yeah? He doesn't know, he mustn't bring this 5-year-old and his 7-year-old and his, where, who's his father? Then we go into that mode. So very simple, my friends. Once again in the ummah, this has to come about. Worry and concern for the next person. We have to view every person's son as my own son. We have to view every person's brother as my brother. We have to view every person's, the next man as my own. If we start regarding one another again, once again, you know, whenever you sit with the elderly people, they will always speak about the past. Always. You sit with any person, and who is 70 years, 60 years of age, they will always tell you of the past. And one thing that is, you know, if we have to use how you use the word for hadith, they say tawatur, if you have to bring that word into play here, you'll find that every person will tell you, whenever you speak to them, oh, you know, things were better in the past, we always worried about one another. Things were better in the past, we always worried about one another. It's a very, very serious thing, but if we just, if each one of us takes it as is my responsibility, and there's so many things, but imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He informs us in Surah Al-Fatiha as well about prioritization. That, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ When we're asking Allah ta'ala, we're making a dua that what we must ask Allah for. Allah is saying, ask me for guidance. So to have this worry, this priority in our heart and mind, you know, sometimes a person may feel, you know what, I'm not perfect. Yes, none of us are perfect. But if you have this gham and you have this worry and concern in general for mankind, you'll find that whenever you meet a person also, you'll humble yourself. You'll start understanding. You will stop looking down on people. People make mistakes in life, brothers. Wallahi, people make mistakes in life all of the time. We all make mistakes. They say there's so much of good in the bad of us and so much of bad in the good of us that it doesn't become of any of us to talk about the rest of us. So if we have to look at it, every one of us has, you know, they say every saint had a past and every sinner has a future. Every saint had a past and every sinner has a future. So we just need to look at each person with the eye of Hidayat. Look at each person like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. He mentioned, "Annasu ma'adin ka ma'adini al-dhahabi wal-fidda." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam likened mankind to a mine. He said, people are like mines. And what is a mine? A mine is something that is excavated. You just take that dirty diamond a little bit. And one is you can talk till Qiyamah about how bad the diamond is and how dirty the diamond is and, you know, where the diamond was. You know, where I found this diamond. Or the other is you can pick up the diamond, just dust it a bit, take your cloth, wipe it, and get that diamond to shine again. So, in a nutshell, two responsibilities, my dear friends. One is that we have to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other is we have to connect the creation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know in this light the ijtima will be taking place in a few weeks' time in Stanger, 24th, 25th of April, inshallah. Look at it as an opportunity for us to take part. In fact, in the ijtima and wherever there is a dini program, involve ourselves in it. In this day and age, it's necessary for us to hold firm. And whether there's an alim having one bayan, go for it. Somebody's having some dini thing, take part in it. Put ourselves in the right environment. Because we know what is the environment out there. Nobody is safe. Nobody can say, no, I'm a Maulana, I'm a Mufti, I'm safe, my children is safe. No. Every one of us have to put ourselves in the right environment. So whoever we meet also, inshallah, just give them the information by Ijtima is taking place or this program is taking place. You don't know who you'll send to one place, whatever it is. You heard there's on Bayan in one of the masjids, send the person. That's at least this much what you can do for concern for that person. He'll go, maybe you didn't make it for any reason. He went, he sat, he connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your jannat is made, your akhirat is made. May Allah Rabbul Izzat give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.